One of the questions that we have when we look at the Chag of Rosh Hashanah is how do we understand and evaluate the fact that it's a two-day Yantif? We know, as Rav Dessler points out, the English translation, Sanctuaries in Time, the Torah only provides for one day of Rosh Hashanah. And if the witnesses who saw the new moon came on that day, just that day was observed as Rosh Hashanah. But even in temple times, Rosh Hashanah was sometimes observed for 2 days. This occurred when the witnesses had not yet arrived by noon of the 30th day of Elul. In this case, the 30th day of Elul was observed as the first day of Rosh Hashanah by requirement of the rabbis, and the following day was the actual Rosh Hashanah when the calendar was fixed. In the 4th century, it became standard practice to keep both these days as Rosh Hashanah. We know that the calendar was decided by when people saw the new moon. So generally, the holidays, which are found in the middle of the month, were not really affected by when the witnesses came. There was enough time to prepare that you knew there was the 15th day. Everyone knew that. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month, which makes it much more complicated, and that's why, indeed, there were times, if the witnesses didn't come, that indeed it was 2 days. We're familiar with this idea from the other festivals, each Yantif being observed in the diaspora for 2 successive days. The first day is a law originating from the Torah, and the second day, the rabbis. But besides being a Yantif, Rosh Hashanah is also a day of divine judgment. And this is our question for today. It seems strange that on the second day we repeat prayers such as, the day of judgment here is here, today God sits in judgment all of his creatures, which seems appropriate only on the first day, which nowadays we know to be, quote-unquote, the real Rosh Hashanah, because this is the fixed day, and that's the first of Tishrei. So what we're going to try to examine Meretz Hashem today, obviously not in totality, right, there's a lot more to say, but try to understand what should our mindset be when we go through the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Harasalom, Hayom Yamit Bamishpah, we go through the whole service. And then guess what? The next day we come in and we do the same thing. Hayom Yamit Bamishpah, Hayom Harasalom. How do we understand? What should our mindset be? How should we look at these 2 days of Yantif? Now before we begin our study, which will take a look at 3 levels, and we know this is the classic question of, is it a Yom HaRichter, Chazal say, do you say Shechiyano on the second night, you have a first new fruit or something, because we're struggling, is it 1 day, is it 2 days, how do we understand the dynamics of the day? The Tal Chaim in source number 2, Rav Shmuel Tal, points out, Rabim Shoalim, Kama Lo Shkiya B'Tfilot Hayom HaRishon, Vayim L'Shmur Kochol L'Tfilot Yom HaShini. A very famous question he asked is, should we save some of our energy for the second day? How much energy should I put into my davening on the first day? Hatshuva l'kachi sheyesh l'shkiach et ha-maximum v'yom ha-rishon v'lo l'shmur kol chokla. So he advises, put your full force effort into the first day, don't leave anything for the second day. And whatever's left, whatever kochos ha-nefesh, whatever energy you have left, then you put into the second day. Because he says, b'derek klali mavoda nesta b'tzura nechona. If you're really doing the avoda properly, you'll find at the end of the first day, it wasn't enough time, and you need another day. You want another day, and you realize that the first day brings you to a certain level, a certain pitch, that you want to pick up then on the second day, that you'll be able to have certain kavanas, building on the kavanas of the first day. And indeed, as the Ari HaKadosh says, that it used to be that we could fix all the tikkunim, all that needed to happen, all the hamlachos Hashem, all the coronation of God on one day. In our day and age, in the time of Yerida Beruchnius, that we've fallen in our spirituality, we taka need 2 days to be able to build what in the previous generations only took 1. So, we understand we're putting our all into the first day, whatever's left in the second, really the first is going to build and lead to the second. What is the interdynamics? First love I'd like to look at is the Shvilei Pinchas. The Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, quoting a lot of Torah from the Bells Chassidus, notes the following. He quotes the Rabbeinu Ha'ari in the name of the Arizal, in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh. And this is quoted from a lot of the Sfarim. This is the classic source on the 2 days. He says, Ki b'shnei yomim shel Rosh Hashanah, dan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, source 4, et kol bayi olam b'shnei sukei dinim. Hashem judges the people in 2 different judgments. B'yom Aleph shel Rosh Hashanah, hu dam otan dinya kashya. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, he judges them a harsh judgment. the midas hadin kasher, the strict justice. Uvayom hasheni hu dan otam din yarafa. On the second day, he judges them on the softer type of din. And indeed, he points out that if we didn't have the second day of Yantif, if we only had the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the world would be destroyed. We can't handle such intensity of judgment. The Shira Pinchas continues by explaining in source number 6 that the Ariyah Kadosh would say that if a person suddenly cries in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, out of nowhere, that means that his soul is being judged. And he says, Ki yesh b'nei adam nidonim b'yom rishon. There are souls that are judged in the first day. Va'az hem din yakasha, and those are people on a very high level who can handle the strict justice. V'yesh nidonim b'yom bet, shudina rafya, and there are those who are judged on the second day, which is a softer judgment. And Hashem wants to be merachim, he wants to have mercy on them, and he judges them then. And that's why if a person suddenly cries on either day of Yantif, realize that he's being judged on this day. Mashma mit this, we can see from here that don't always assume that we're all being judged at the same time on the same day. It seems clear from here is that every person, based on where they are at, are either being judged on the first day at whatever given time, or on the second day at whatever given time. What's the distinction between the first day and the second day? The first day is harsh judgment. The second day is softer judgment. This is reminiscent, he notes, of the idea when originally Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Breshis Bara Elokim, et Hashemayim et Haaretz, God, Elokim. Rashi brings down, Shebetchila Allah b'machshav levros av midas adin. Originally God wanted to create the world in midas adin in strict judgment. He saw the world wasn't going to exist in this way, so he therefore joined the midas harachamim. And that's why the attribute of kindness, and that's why the pasuk tells us, B'yom asot Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashemayim, Hashem Elokim, Rachamim, mercy, Elokim, din. He joins the mercy with the judgment when creating the world. And that's why in the first day, that's the day that Hashem originally envisioned the world. That's the day where we are judged, those who are holding on that Midas Adin. A perfect example of this would be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva indeed was holding on this level. And indeed, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes up into Shemayim and he sees Rabbi Akiva and what will be with him, and he says, is this the Torah? Is this the reward? And Hashem answers him, Kachala b'machshava, this is Kachalta b'machshava panai, this is how I envisioned it, which means he represents the original way Hashem envisioned a person to be. We, on the other hand, who are not holding on that level of sitkus, we're not holding on that level of kechut asara, being very, very exact, most of us are being judged on the second day. This idea of the of these 2 days is further reflected in the Kriyas HaTorah, in the reading of the Torah that we have on both days. We know in the, one of the major motifs of Rosh Hashanah, as well as the Kriyas HaTorah, is Akedas Yitzchak. And as the Shirei Pinchas notes, quoting the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Avahum, source 11, Lama Tokim B'Shofar Shal Ayo, why do we blow this shofar of a ram? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Tiku lufanai b'shofar shalayo, blow the ram's horn. Kidei sheskor lechem akeyas Yitzchak ben Avraham, that you remember the binding of Isaac. Umala ni'alechem kilu akadatem atzvachem lufanai, and it will be as if you have bound yourself up in front of me. So there's a lot to say about the binding of Isaac and the ram's horn being reminiscent of this whole episode. But it's a very fascinating Zohar HaKadosh, who says the following. What's the idea of the binding? Be'er HaInyan. Shetziva Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram LaKodesh Yitzchak HaBe'er Mizbeach. Avraham Avinu is told to bind Isaac on the altar. Ki Yadua Avraham Avinu Avadet Hashem B'Midas HaChesed. Avraham Avinu is a quintessential model of kindness. V'ilu Yitzchak Avinu Avadet Hashem B'Midas HaDin HaKasheh. And Yitzchak Avinu is the model of Gvura, of strict judgment. And because the world can't stand and rest on strict judgment, therefore Hashem told Avraham Avinu, the master of kindness, to almost sublimate Yitzchak, to harness his forces, the whole idea of the Akedat Yitzchak is as almost as if the binding of Isaac is the binding of strict justice, to allow those forces of strict justice to be harnessed, to be reined in, controlled by the Midas HaChesed, to be tempered by kindness. And that way we understand, my friends, very clearly why in 14 on the first day of Yantif, what do we read? Hashem pakarat Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarah, and he gave her a child, who? Yitzchak. The first day, which is the Din Kasheh, the harsh judgment. It makes sense that we focus in on the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, because he represents this harsh judgment. However, on the second day, when the judgment turns to a softer judgment, it is still judgment, it's still Yom HaDin, but it's Hashem Elohim, Midas HaRachamim, with Midas HaDin. There is an attribute of kindness, of mercy, that mitigates the strict justice. That day is the second day, and hence on the second day, we read about the Akedah. And indeed, this, says Rav Pinkus in Melodei HaShana, should be our mindset in blowing shofar. Again, the shofar that reminds us of the binding. Source 16. This is actually what the shofar is about. It is written in the Torah sources that the power of shofar isn't it that we accept upon ourselves the yoke of Hashem's rulership by blowing the shofar. We don't make do with the revelation of Hashem's kingdom that is within the order of the created world. We seek more. We desire that Hashem should rule over us in total oneness. We yearn to be closer to Hashem, for life is found in the light of the King's countenance. The pasuk would say after the chaos. This aspiration we have that the order of the created world is not enough for us, and we desire to see more and more revelation of Hashem's kingdom, causes Hashem to move himself from the Midas HaDin, from the strict justice, to the Midas HaRachamim, to the mercy. Midas HaDin, the strict justice, follows the order of things. There's a world order. However, when we ascend to a level that is above the world order, we desire more revelation of Hashem's kingdom than is to be found in the world order. This brings Hashem to act not in accordance with the world order. Instead, he conducts himself with the Midas HaRachamim. My friends, this is very much a dynamics that we've been speaking about. And it really works from, you know, above to below and below to above in both aspects. When we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? The Midas HaDin is the way things have to be. And we understand that's the way things have to be. But Hashem, we want more than that. We want you to reveal yourself to the nth degree in every part of our life. We want you to be involved in every part of our lives. When we ask Hashem to go above the set order of being involved in X amount, but we say we want it in every aspect. V'yeda kolpo ki ata pa'alto, v'yavim kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. We want every living being, every creature to know you created it. We then move from the Midas HaDin, the strict justice, the strict order, to the aspect of rachamim, to the aspect of mercy. So to a certain extent, our davening on the first day of Yantif, our desire for God's revelation of kingdom, is to a certain degree what brings about the second day, which now has the aspect of rachamim, the aspect of mercy. Because we have desired God to reveal himself to such a great degree that God moves away from the strict justice and order of things and reveals himself above and beyond, and that above and beyond is referred to as the Midas HaRachamim, the act of divine mercy. This is our avodah in Rosh Hashanah, continues in 17. The more we desire to see the glory of Hashem's Malchus in the world, the more we aspire to accept upon ourselves the yoke of Hashem's rulership, the more we receive from Hashem without limit. Our aspiration for more revelation of Hashem's kingdom, our concern for it, this itself causes Hashem to bestow upon us goodness without set orders and limit, and conduct himself toward us with the Midas HaRachamim. My friends, this is the first level of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The first day is strict judgment. The second day is mercy. First day, birth of Yitzchak Avinu. Second day, the Akedah. Recognize, though, that it's also partly coming from us as well. The more we desire Hashem, the more we stand in shul and yearn for and long for and want this relationship with Hashem. And it's not only in shul, it's our whole behavior of Rosh Hashanah is crying out, Hashem, I want to bring you in every part of my life. Then Hashem moves from the seat, the throne of justice, to the throne of mercy. The ram's horn, the shofar, is that model of that medium of the shift from the strict justice to the mercy. When we blow the horn, it's as if that's our call, the depth of our desire. Hashem, we want nothing else but for you to be king over us in every aspect of our lives. When we ask for this, when that's our battle cry, so that's the time when the shift happens from the din to the rachamim. That's level one. Level number two is based on a beautiful essay of Rav Pinkus, which obviously I can't do full justice to. It's a very long essay that we're just going to highlight. Rav Pinkus says people are often tired, and the essay is called The 2 Days of Rosh Hashanah. People are often tired out by the time the second day arrives. But in truth, as with everything in Judaism, the days of Rosh Hashanah are like an ascending ladder. The second day's aspect is actually much higher than now the first day. Chazal say, right, Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'im aridim, we go up in spiritual matters. And he continues by saying the central point of Rosh Hashanah is Hashem's kingship. In Rosh Hashanah, we don't declare that Hashem is the world's creator. The creation of the world took place on 25th of Elul. We also do not declare that Hashem is good and benevolent. That's Pesach. Nor do we declare that He's great, mighty, and awesome. That's Hanukkah, Purim, Shavuos. The special subject of Rosh Hashanah is that Hashem is our king. Malchus means the involvement of the king in the lives of the kingdom's subjects. The king is involved in almost every detail of the lives of his subjects at each and every step. So it is too with Hashem's Malchus. It carries Hashem's relationship and closeness with us and our belonging with Him. Malchus means that everywhere a person goes, he goes with Hashem. We are like servants whose lives are with the king. The foundation of the Avodah Rosh Hashanah is to bring Hashem into the course of our life. This is the foundation of it all, and someone who doesn't understand this simply hasn't grasped what these days are all about. If we pause for just a moment, my friends, and just interject almost the parentheses that we've spoken about over and over again, but I feel bears repeating, not as a chiddush, but just that we should familiarize ourselves with what we've spoken about. The Sichur Yitzchaskur, Rosi Meyer, Silverberg talks about this a lot. That if we understand that Hashem is intimately involved in every aspect of my life, Yahalu Shmo B'machol, that I understand that wherever I am in life is exactly where Hashem wants me to be, Yahalu Shmo B'machol, I'm going to rejoice. If Hashem wants me at this point in time, Lo Aleinu, to be in the hospital with a sick person, or my Lo Aleinu person themselves is sick, that's where Hashem wants you to be Mamlechem as king. That's where He wants you to coronate Him. If you have the schus of being a mother of little children, that's where He wants you to be. He wants you to be with your children, being able to do activities that will ingrain in the children how special Hashem is, how beautiful Hashem is. Take a walk with them, see all that Hashem has created. Make the children feel that closeness, that emotional connection to Baruch Shel Olam. Whatever place we are in, it is tailor-made to Hashem, by Hashem, to the extent that whatever happens to us, we have to look as a matana, as a gift from above. That's Malchios. Which means to say, Umaloch, al kolom, kolobich fodecha, guide you, should rule over the whole world. That's nice. But are you able to have Him rule over your world? Are you able to realize that He's orchestrating every aspect of your life so that when something happens that frustrates you, you're able to step back and say, this is Ritzon Hashem, this is the will of God, and I realize that it's a test to work on my nidos, on my character traits, and I need to step back from trying to be in control and work on my anger? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. It's like my 12-year-old who called me at a wedding this week, and she had taken cookies out of the oven, put it on a new plastic tablecloth, and it melted. It happened. So she was afraid of my reaction. So she said, she calls me at the wedding, and she says, Ima, isn't it true that it's Elul now, and we're working on our mitos? That's right. When a kid gives you that line, then you're stuck. You have to kick it angry, right? But we're working on our mitos because that experience that happened, it was meant to test my mitos. Would I get angry? Would I be frustrated? Would I not? So that's why on a practical level, my friends, and we've spoken about this, when you're sitting in shul, let's say you have the aisle seat, and there's a woman three seats down who has a six-year-old child who goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and, you know, constantly has to ask you to get up and move and get up and move, and you're ready to, like, wring this kid's neck and the mother's neck and the two necks together, and you want to grunt and you want to make dirty looks, etc. Relax. We're to talk about Mirza Shema Sersma, Tshuva, judging people for the benefit of the doubt. You don't know what this lady's going through. You don't know if she tried to get a babysitter. You don't know what she has on her plate that she feels she needs to be in shul. You don't know anything. But you do know that God is testing you with a six-year-old child. So every time this child passes by, you smile. And you say, thank you for being such a beautiful test. You know, it could have been much worse. He could have tested you with things that are much more painful than a six-year-old beautiful little girl. It's all about our understanding that everything comes from Malchus Hashem. Everything comes from coronating God. That God is in control and in charge of every second of our lives. Now, having said that, end of parentheses, going back to our fingers, he discusses at length, and that's a major part of this essay that we're just going to highlight, that there are really two ways that we can interact and relate to the mitzvot that Hashem has given us. One way is the intellectual way. All right, I know that this is what God commanded me. I know this is how I have to fulfill the mitzvah, and this is what I need to do. The other way is the emotional way, where I feel connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I feel the beauty and the godless, the greatness of this mitzvah. And that's why he says, it is known that the main avodah of this day is renewal. This is the beginning of your deeds, remembrance of the first day. The avodah of renewal needs to be performed on both levels, with intellectual understanding and with practical deeds. Continuing in 22, the Creator is infinite. Not just infinite in distance, but infinite in every respect. Infinite power, infinite kindness, infinite closeness, infinite sweetness. This is our avodah Rosh Hashanah. We need to take the sitter and look at it as this is the first time we saw our prayer book. We need to think, what does Baruch Atah mean? People by nature tend to think they receive just drips and drafts of Hashem. This is because they don't stop to think that Baruch Atah means Baruch, stems from Brecha, pool. It denotes a deluge of plenty, that we have to understand that when we're talking to Hashem, it's opening up the gates that floods should come down of connection. But we have to look at the prayer book as this is the first time I'm opening it and appreciate what we're saying. And indeed, practically, to do this, one of the things is a finger. If one puts a finger on the plate, you will see it will slow you down tremendously. The other suggestion, and there could be many, is to take like a Mitzudah Machzor, which only has a few words on every line, and then with the translation, and that slows you down. Or it's just the way one is going to encounter this Machzor. Wow. First time I've ever daven. It's exciting. It's new. It's amazing. It's the ability to open up all these pathways from heaven. You know, Rabbi Spiro tells a great maestro of a fellow who lived in Muncie, who, in all appearances, he seemed to be a pashut yid. He seems to be like everybody else. But the one thing about him that made him unique and different was that he davened with such fervor, like he was on fire. But everything else seemed to be really regular, and people just took this for granted, this is how this fellow davened. Once there was a visitor who was struck by this, like, this seemed so out of character. And he went over to him and he says, you know, like, there must be a story behind the way you davened. So he said, yeah. He said, when I was a 6 or 7 year old boy, he said, I grew up in an immaculate home. Now, I can't tell you what an immaculate home looks like, but I'm sure some of you are familiar with this concept, where nothing was out of place. You know, we came in, we took off our shoes, and put them in the right place, like everything functioned. It's like, you know, Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, Seder, Kelm, to the utmost. Once my mother called me over, and on the dining room table was a pitcher of water. And she said to me, I want you to push the table. Well, I knew my mother, he said, didn't want me to have the water spilled because nothing spilled in this house. We did not take a morsel of food out of the kitchen, right? You could imagine what Pesach cleaning must have been like. You know, a pleasure. So he said, I tapped the table. My mother said, I didn't tell you to tap the table, I told you to push it. So I gave it a little bit of a nudge, and the water, you know, danced a little bit. My mother said, I didn't tell you to just give it a nudge, I told you to push. Well, my mom tells me to push, I push. And I pushed the table, and the pitcher of water, the water went spilled. It spilled on the table, on the chairs, on the floor. It was like a mess. Like, it was the first time I've ever seen a mess in my house. And my mother said to me, this is davening. When you daven, it's not just enough to daven just a little bit. You daven, Kodesh Baruch Hu's overflowing blessing, Baruch Atah. But you gotta shuckle, you gotta shake, you gotta really daven. And then when you really daven, it's gonna overflow. And he said, that lesson has stayed with me my whole life. That when I daven, I just don't daven, I shake the table, it overflows. That is the message of davening. That's what it should be like, if not Halavai all year, that's what it should be like on Rosh Hashanah. And this is the deeper idea of Uru Yesheni Mishnatchem, wake you, you who sleep awake from your slumber, right? The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is to wake up from sleeping. It's like all of us are sleeping. All of us live in a daze. All of us live in a place where we're not focused on what we're doing. Rosh Hashanah is the time of renewal, of freshness. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, a person's minds open up and becomes excited. He recognizes the world has a creator. He sees things that he never saw before. Wow, hands, fingers, look at the fingers, look what they can do, it's amazing. And feet, and I can talk, and I can walk, and I'm shtender, and I'm safer, and wow. Don't take anything for granted. Your home, look at your children like you've never seen them before. Hug them. Wow! Such beautiful children. Such energy. Such humor. Such determination. Wow! That has to be the Hitchatshus, the renewal of Rosh Hashanah. That I approach my Avodas Hashem, I approach those things in my life as if they are new, as if they have never seen them before. And in that way, I can approach my Avodah on a whole different level in the way I interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why, he says, early Torah sources say that the first day has the aspect of from the back, while the second day has the aspect of face to face. And he says this is comparable to the Kruvin. The Kruvin were those two angelic figures that when we did the will of God, they faced each other. And when we didn't do the will of God, they faced to the side. Elul, Slichos are all about bringing Hashem into the room, bringing the Kruvim into the Beis HaMikdash. But now that you have the Kruvim into the Beis HaMikdash, we then have to be able to recognize that they're there. 27, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a matter of turn to the side. We're together with Hashem, but the relationship is only on the intellectual level. In other words, the Jew says to himself, I know the best thing in the world to stand before Hashem. I recognize it. And he says it's like the person who works for their paycheck. Everyone needs life, parnasa, health, nachas, so they wear the uniform, they work hard, but after all is said and done, they have the feeling inside, there's a limit to all this, I need some time for myself. It's a professional relationship. This is a relationship of what we build on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Kruvim are in the room, they're not facing each other. God, you want me to daven, I'll daven. You want me to dip apples in honey, I'll dip apples in honey. Tell me what to do, I'll do it. Not because I want to do it, because I have to do it. This is what you expect of me, and this is the paycheck I want, children, nachas, etc. On the second day, however, it turns into a panim, a panim relationship. Then we feel the true relationship, the emotional excitement. This is what the second day is about. On the second day, everything turns into our own personal business. We take all the renewal we attained on the first day, and you need the first day to get to the second, my friends, and make it into a relationship of face-to-face. It's not just our intellect that's stirred up, not just our deeds, but our love is stirred up. My friends, this is the relationship of the 2 days. The first day is the intellectual relationship. At least I know Hashem exists. I begin to work on this relationship. That then builds and needs to build into the second day where I just want to come and daven. I just want to embrace you. I just appreciate everything you've given me, Hashem. I don't only appreciate it intellectually, I appreciate it emotionally. I just want to come and connect with you. It's interesting that the Sefer Moda Levina points out that on the Kapitel Tehillim, Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva Lishvot Haaretz, that Kiva, that Hashem has come judge of the world, the double language of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But in the same Kapitel Tehillim, it speaks about Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sagal Haaretz, that the heavens are rejoicing, and that V'chol Yeranim Kol Sayar, and the trees are singing. So if Hashem is judging, what is all of this happiness about? So he says, Omnam Yisod HaGosha L'Mishpat Yikirvas Hashem. The whole idea of judgment is now coming closer to Hashem. And with this closeness, there's no greater simcha than this. As Nehemiah says, Ki Chedvas Hashem Yimauschem, the joy of Hashem is your salvation. And that's what we have to understand. There's almost a duality. We spoke about this many years ago, that is found on Rosh Hashanah. There's the awe. We don't say hallel because of Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psukim Lefanav. The books of life and death are open. This is not a time for hallel, for rejoicing. This is the time for feeling the Emas Hadin, the strict judgment. But on the other hand, that's really the first day. The second day, we move from that Ema, from that Yira, to Simcha. But I have an opportunity to come close to Hashem. And the Moda Levina continues and he says, the real essence of the mitzvah of Yontif is Tkiya Shofar. Tkiya Shofar is as if you're entering into Lifnai v'Lifnim, to the innermost chambers, into the Kodesh Kodashim. And therefore, the mitzvah d'Araisa of Rosh Hashanah, Yiknisa al Beit Hashem, Lifnai v'Lifnim. You know what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is about? One is standing in front of Hashem face to face. Love, joy, sing with your children, dance with your children. Yes, there's fear. Yes, there's trepidation. But at the same time, we have to be able to focus in on the schus, the merit, the love, the godless, the greatness of having this relationship. And Rav Pinkus concludes this essay. This is what a Seretz Yemei Teshuva are all about. It's a matter of acquiring the Madrega face to face. How does one do it? By renewal. By stopping to reflect. Whom did I turn aside from? Who's looking at me eye to eye? Who's giving me kisses of the mouth? Who's embracing me, so to speak? I would say this is where our main problem lies. We don't have enough dvekus with Hashem. We do things professionally. We need to educate our children to develop an emotional relationship, to love Hashem and the Torah and Yiddishkeit. And my friends, that's why, whether you are home with your children over Yontif or part of Yontif, you're with your children, part in shul, the idea we need to inculcate with our children, you know, so often they come home from Gan, from kindergarten, and Rosh Hashanah's picture is a scale, right? Good deeds, bad deeds. That's a better description of Yom Kippur. The idea of Rosh Hashanah is really a crown with a heart inside. That Hashem is Melech, and we are judged. To what extent have we made God King in our lives? To what extent have we lived up to this reality? To what extent have we allowed our mitos to get in the way of this reality? But recognize there's love too, that Hashem is my creator, that He takes care of me individually, that He loves me, that He's interested in me. Take a walk with your children and show them the beautiful things that Hashem's created, that we should read books that encourage our feeling of the emotional dvekos to Hashem. Okay, my friends, we've done the first two levels. Level number one, harsh din, birth of Yitzchak. Second day, softer, the Akedas Yitzchak. Second idea of Rosh Hashanah, the first day, is about the intellectual aspect. I know Hashem exists. I've worked for the paycheck. The second day is, I want to connect with Him. There's a love. There's a feeling of connection. There's a feeling of, I'm singing and dancing in shul because this is the way that I can connect to Hashem. That I, individually, enter into Lifnai v'Lifnim when we blow shofar. We enter into the innermost chamber of our hearts and we find Hashem. And there's no greater simcha. There's no greater joy than that. Finally, my friends, the third level, which will take us into a very, very fascinating discussion. The third level, the Mayan HaMoed, source 33, quotes, and he says the following. B'yom Rishon de Rosh Hashanah, tamid atikun b'pnimus ha'olamos. I can't explain to you what he means, but the upshot of this I do want to speak about. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we're dealing with inner worlds. U'b'yom Sheni b'chitzonius ha'olamos. And the second day, we're dealing with more of the outer worlds. Aval ha-magid ha-kadosh mi-koshinitz, the koshinitz or magi learn from this, l'ma mi-dvarav ha-kadoshim, asher l'fizeh b'yarnu ha-derech ha-nachon l'chol adam, what is applicable for all of us. L'itpalo b'yom rishon d'rosh Hashanah b'ikar al-tikun n'shama v'al iskei avodat Hashem yitzbarach shedep nimis ha-mamos. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, we should daven for spiritual things. We should daven for our neshamas. We should daven for the ability to serve God, because that's the inner world. U'v'yom ha-sheni, on the second day, l'itpalo al-tzrachav, we daven for our needs, b'nai chayim mizonai, our children, our livelihood, and our life, l'shmir l'chol Yisrael, for us and for all the Jewish people. Now again, that doesn't mean on the second day we don't daven for ruchnias, and the first day we don't daven for physicality. It means where is our focus on each of these days. Which then leads us, my friends, to a question, which, as I've always said, I never pass the halacha. Alright? I don't tell you, I don't tell anybody what to do. That's a halacha, it has to do with people who have ordination and are trained in this matter, and have a masara. But I'd like to present different ideas that give one food for thought. The question that comes up is, aside leaving all the Shabbos and Yontif in general aside, because that's really a separate question. The question about Rosh Hashanah is, are we allowed to daven for our personal needs? Now, after all, everything's on the line. Our children are on the line. My livelihood's on the line. My job's on the line. My life is on the line. But it's interesting that if we take a look at the Yom Tov davening, we don't mention like Baruch Aleinu, which is the bracha for parnasa we say every day. We don't mention Rafa'inu, the bracha of Rafua. It's kind of funny that the day where everything's on the line, I don't even have a chance to ask Hashem for these things. So the question becomes, is do we ask for these things? Are we allowed to ask for these things? And if we are allowed to ask for these things, we are indeed, do we ask for these things when it doesn't seem like there's any place to ask for these things? So there's many different, obviously, facets to understand this question. If we could present just a number, the Kimotzei Shalal Rav in 34 quotes the Tzvas Emes, and he says, Tamodot Hatzorech La'der Achar Simanim Elu. Why are we so careful of having the simanim, the different signs, right? The head of a fish, and the carrots, and the black-eyed peas, which I still can't figure out how to make. Why are all of these things such a focus? And he says, because Yom Tov is only about, in our davening, take pachticha, put your awe on, v'timloch, and rule over. And we don't ask for our personal needs. So the simanim, the signs, became a way for us to hint at what we're asking for. We don't ask for them directly. But when we say Shnei L'Rosh L'Olos Anah, we should be the head of and not the tail. It's hinting at what we're really asking for. And that's why the Sosema says the simanim are so important to have. The second approach is that of the Siddur Hagra, in his Psicha Rosh Hashanah. He points out in Source 35, the focus of the day is the focus of Hashem. That's why we don't have any aspect of Rosh Hashanah, al slichak the kapara umizonai, on forgiveness, on anything of my own needs. Right? Tfilah ksara bakashat sachayim, only a short tfilah about life, and this is because Hashem wants us melechafit tchayim, because God desires life. Otherwise, we wouldn't even say such a thing. Why? Rab Kulam, you said that al hadrat kvod elokeinu. Everything is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are nothing in this picture of the grandiose, of the grandeur of Hashem. V'zeh ikar bakashatenu. V'yeda kol pol ki ata pa'alto v'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. And this is what we have to focus in on. We do not talk about ourselves at all. This idea is really, the origin of this idea is really found in the Zohar Kadosh, in English 36, right in the middle. Those that pray for the welfare of their children and their sustenance are like dogs barking for food. Ha ha! Right? So if we just say, give me children, give me parnasa, and give me a shirach, and give me, we're like a dog. Give me, give me. So therefore, there is a whole school of thought that says we don't ask for any of our personal needs on Yom Tov when our rabbis put in, right, Zachrein Lechaya, remember us for life, so that we say. But aside from those, we do not mention ourselves at all. That's one side of the spectrum, and we hint at it in the Siman. But there's another side of the spectrum. Rav Wolkin, The World Within, 36 notes, it's important for us to know what specifically we should pray for on this day of prayer. We find the honor of Hashem as the primary theme of Rosh Hashanah prayers, and therefore put your fear, Hashem our God, upon all your creations, and to come upon us to praise the Master of the Universe. Nevertheless, a person must clearly understand that in Rosh Hashanah he has to pray for himself and for his family. Indeed, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter stated, one who prays and concentrates in his Rosh Hashanah prayer on the honor of Hashem, and he does not pray on this day, the day of judgment, for his children and their sustenance, it's making a mistake. In our generation, if we prayed only for the honor of Hashem and not for ourselves, our prayer would be tainted with falsehood. And Rav Biederman in Be'er HaChaim echoes this idea, and he says that we have to understand that, and he notes this in 38, that if you would say, Hashem, I need help in my ruchnius, Hashem, help me in my spirituality, and I don't ask at all for help in my physicality, you could be a kafir, God forbid. It's like you're denying God. God, spirituality, I need help. But my job, my livelihood, my physical welfare, no, I can handle that myself. No! We have to realize in Rosh Hashanah that we're completely dependent on Hashem for everything. And that's why fakir, it is incumbent. It is crucial that we ask Hashem on this day when we're mamlech Hashem, we make Hashem king. It's crucial that we ask for our personal needs as well. And this again, the Sefer Moda Lubina points out that when we ask for our personal needs, we have to keep one thing in mind. And the Sfarim speak about this in 42. Omnam kamur pashur hu she'im yisher adam b'rosh Hashanah. If you just focus on Rosh Hashanah, on your personal needs, Shuv lo igiyah l'ritzon Hashem yibarach l'tach l'ito b'inyan tzad Rosh Hashanah, you've missed the boat. So when we say you should ask for a parnasa, you should ask for good children, if you ask for this in the absolute, you've missed the boat. V'az nishar k'matzav she'yigiruhu b'zohar kados tzvachim kalva k'kalva hav-hav. Then you're tackle like that dog. Aval kasher oto tzvachim hav. But when you cry out to Hashem, who k'day lis'orer l'gato b'adam et amunah bo yisparos shemaho. But when you are davening in order to increase your emunah in Hashem, umishami talem emelel shifa v'ratzol l'machus Hashem b'briya, and that brings you closer to incarnating God as King, then that screaming is the screaming where we're speaking about. And this is what Chazal indeed say, katveinu zachreinu l'chaim, katveinu b'sefer chaim, remember us for life, write us in the book of life. Why? Lemancha Elokim Chaim, that we should come to the level for your sake, Hashem. So that when we do ask for things on Yom Tov, we should couch them and in our own mind be able to work through that whatever I'm asking is to be a better Evan Hashem. Hashem, I need money so that I'm able to pay my school tuition, that I can give my children a Jewish education. I need money to be able to buy food for Shabbos. I need money to be able to serve you better. Because Hashem, if I didn't have money, I'd be so distraught that I can't even focus on serving you. Put it in the terms of Lemancha Elokim Chaim in order to be able to serve Hashem better. And indeed, a very beautiful piece that Tal Chaim speaks about. He says, so often when a person feels distant from Hashem, like, how can I talk about, you know, godliness and these high topics? You know, asking for my children's welfare and my food, that I can get into because it's personal. He says, when you start with these things, it's like opening up a hole, like a geyser in the ground. You start digging because you want to dig, you want to daven. But you find that once you start davening and once you start talking to Hashem, the geyser comes out, then you're able to connect at a much deeper level. So don't shy away from the personal thing. Use these personal things as a way of allowing a person to connect to Hashem, to realize that everything comes from Hashem, to realize that He has a larger picture in our lives. Good. So we understand that when we daven for things on Yom Tov, we should daven within this perspective of Leman Chalukim Chaim, to serve Hashem. But the question still becomes, aside from these few points, where else do we daven to Hashem? So the Tal Chaim points out that there is a place of Miskeret Chofshi, u'mekoma pi halacha b'sof tefillah hamida lifneyu l'ratzon ha'acharon. Zeh hazman l'tei bitui l'neshama l'daber im Hashem ba'ofen chofshi v'lo mutav, v'liftoch et ha'ratzon p'nimi v'amiti shachem kayam banu v'aleinu mutav rak l'galot oto. Right before the end of Shemona Esrei, after Elokai Yitzur, at the end of Elokai Yitzur, we have Yu L'Ratzon, person says Sukim or their Pasuk, and then this is the time for the Neshama just to spill out whatever they want. This is the time where Chazal allow for freedom of expression. But I will say here that one can daven for, again, their children, their spouse, their livelihood, or whatever it is, but as Rav Avraham Jacobowitz, when I was schmoozing with this last Erev Shabbos about this inyan, he said to me, and it's a very, very important point. We spoke about a few weeks ago, making sure to daven for the klal, that when you daven, don't only daven for yourself, daven for the klal Yisrael. Here he connects these, or interconnects these ideas together. He says that whatever you ask for, always ask for it in the plural. You don't want to be singled out by God, right? The Yishaya Shunamit says, "Betochami anochi yoshavet." I'm sitting among the people. I don't want God to single me out, because then God says, oh, really, are they deserving of this or not? Let me just take a little bit more of a scrutiny. But when you couch it as, so if you say, Hashem, my Yankee, who's 7 years old, has ADHD, as you know, because he's also your child, and he's driving me crazy, and the Rebbe crazy, and the Ritalin crazy, and the walls crazy, and we know that medicine is so crucial, oftentimes for these type of children, but when they're off the medication, it's a very, very challenging time for the parent, and it's a challenging time. So the parent turns to Hashem and says, thank you for giving me this medication, thank you for giving me the people and the resources to help me, but Hashem, it's challenging for me, it's challenging for the Rebbe, it's challenging for him to take the medication, whatever it is. Hashem, please take care of my Yankee as well as all the Yankees, all the, whoever they are, that are struggling with ADHD or struggling with ever issues that are creating this challenge to raise their children. So I'm davening for my specific needs, but I'm couching it in all those who are experiencing similar types of needs. And that is why, as Jacobowitz pointed out, that we say in the Simanim, Sheni Rosh Lozanat, that we should be, not She'eya, that I will be, that all of our bakashos are in the plural, that we include Klal Yisrael. Hashem, help all mothers who are raising children, help all girls who are looking for a shidduch, help all people who want to have a zeh shel kayama, a child, bizocha for a child. Jacobowitz pointed out, aside from here, you do have two places where there are very specific personal bakashos. Two times in Rosh Hashanah davening. One is Birkas Kohanim, in the shalom that Ribono Shel Olam, that personal bakasha, and the other, which he emphasized over and over again, is a very, very special time, and we don't take advantage of it. When the Aron Kodesh is open, it's always Vanitzil Silach Hashem Eiratzon Elokim Baruch Hastecha Neim Bemet Vishecha. Opening the Aron Kodesh, like Birkas Kohanim, is a tremendous time of Eiratzon, of divine favor. After we open the Aron, we say Hashem Hashem three times, and then we ask for a personal bakasha. And that bakasha is really like everything we want to say. So if you're in shul, for that moment you will find that you will really connect, like this is an outpouring of where you're at. Having said this, I'd like to make two other notations. One is what the Matnat Chaim, Matzion Salomon Shlita, points out in 47. He says, you don't think that the, right, we have a Vina Makena, we do have places, but again in the plural. You don't think that the Shemona Esrei, right? We've been speaking about Birkas Kohanim and the opening of the Aron and Avinu Malkeinu, but where in the Shemona Esrei do we ask for these things? Aside from Zachreinu L'chaim, which is also a Seretz Mechuga. So he says, really, it's Mu'at Machzika Teruba. It's small, it's a mute that holds a lot. It's two lines. And take a look, and we should always go over the Machzer before Yantif. The Kedusha Sayom, the last bracha, the bracha of the Kedusha Sayom, in all of our tefillos, we say the following: Katshenu b'mitzvosecha, sanctify us in your mitzvah, v'teicha kenu b'sorosecha, and give us a portion in your Torah. That is all the things of Ruchnius. One sentence, right? We want sanctity in the mitzvos, and we want a portion in God's Torah. You have it there, my friends. Sab'enu mituvecha, let us be satisfied from your goodness. V'samcheinu b'shuasecha, and let us rejoice in your salvation. That's all of our physicality. Salvation, goodness, God satiates us. That's it. That we should be able, when we say these lines, to say them slowly, with kavana, with intent, with a realization that this is what we're asking for, is really the essence of what the day is about. I will add one more nekuta, however. I'm not sure it's so accessible in Chutz Laaretz, but I'm sure everyone has friends that come visit here, have children that are learning here, or your neighbor has a child that's learning here who can pick it up for you for future years. And that is a beautiful sefer, very cheap sefer, it's like, you know, $12, called Imur Lefanei Malchios, Rav Eliezer Meislish. What he does in this sefer is he goes through the 30 psukim, the 10 from Malchios, the 10 from Zichronos, the 10 from Shofros, and tells you not what you should say, because we're all short essay, but what you should think. And the thinking connects you to what our tefillos are about, and to what we're really davening to Hashem about. So if we take a look, I gave some examples of where you see this. If we take a look at the pasuk in Malchios, one of the psukim in Malchios is, Ki Lashem Hamelucho Moshe Bagoyim. To Hashem is the kingdom, and He rules over the nations. So here he says in Source 50, V'kan efshar levakesh b'machshava. Here you can think about Sheyetiv lanu Hashem berov chasadav v'chol yanim atzurchim lanu. Hashem should give us all the things that we need. Kedei shenuchal legalo machutoy barach b'olam katon shelanu. We want Hashem to reveal Himself in our little world, right? We're saying Hashem should rule over the world. Hashem rule over our little world. That we can serve Hashem with a little bit more expansiveness, the simcha, with joy, without any lack, without anything bothering us, and that Hashem should help us to rule over the nations. You know who the nations are? be able to rule over those aspects in us that we have gained from the nations, that the nations have influenced us with, that pull us away from God. And that's pretty clear what those are about. So here we take a pasuk, Ki Lashem Amlucho Moshe Bagoyim, which seems to be such a dry pasuk, but in reality it's speaking to me. Hashem has the kingdom. Hashem, I want to make you king over my life. I need physical things to make you king over my life. This is what I'm thinking. I need you to take away all those distractions and all those deterrents that stop me from making you king over our life. This is how you can turn the 30 psukim into a personal request. Here's another example. When we say the pasuk in Zichronos, the first one was Malchios. Komar Shem Sachar Telech Chasenu Raya Sayach Lechtech Achare B'Midbar Beretz Loz Rua. That how Hashem is taking care of us to walk us through the nation, then the land not planted. V'lachem v'amiros 51 pasuk zed tzarikol achali tzarir mikodol v'at Hashem elenu, to realize how Hashem loves us today with such tremendous love. And even in our times of when we're down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us how much He loves us in the depth of our love. V'lachem yesh l'orer kan, we therefore want to arouse Hashem's mercy that He should love us with tremendous love and give us a chatima that He should inscribe us for a book, in the book of Ruchnias and Gashmias, in the book of salvation, in the book of physical and spiritual. And the whole year should be filled with Avas Hashem. That's a request. That's love. This is where you find it. Third case, and you can bring these to shul and you'll be able to say them. Pasuk from Shofros. V'ne'emar tiku b'chodesh shofar v'kesel yom chagenu. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. To blow the shofar. This is a chok l'Yisrael hu. This is a ordinance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on this in 52, Ki chok l'Yisrael hu yuchal v'kesh b'machshava shakarish k'baruch hu yashpil lanu kol ha'shpos ha'niflos ha'nichlalim b'chok. Shu lishnei d'mzonei parnasa v'nikul v'shefa v'archava. Chok is sustenance. Chok is what God has, you know, going to divvy out to us. Ki chok l'Yisrael, Hashem, give us our chok, literally our portion. Give us what we need in order to be able to serve you. That we should have koach, we should have strength, we should have brios, we should have health. L'avodas Hashem, mitochar chavas adav v'simcha, with expansiveness of mind, with love. And then we can be able to serve you in the best way possible and be able to thank you for all the chasadim you have done for us. Let's summarize the three levels of Nim with one final idea, my friend. Harsh judgment, soft judgment. Birth of Yitzchak, Ketz Yitzchak, level one. And most of us are judged on day two. And day one gets us to the level of day two. Focus all your intensity and day weight to the maximum. And then you'll see that you've moved yourself to a place open to be judged on day two. Day one of Rav Pinkus is a day recognized intellectually have a relationship with God. Day two is panim al panim. It's face to face. It's entering that Kodesh Kodashim. It's entering that deepest place. I want to have this relationship with Hashem. And again, day one helps us develop to day two. Third level. Day one is inner world. Day two, outer world. Day one, ruchnias, spirituality. Day two, gashmias, physicality. Do we have a place to ask for physical needs? That's a big question. But if we say we do have a place to ask for physical needs, we have to keep in mind to do it in order to serve God. Two, we do it in the collective, in the plural. We make ourselves part of the Jewish people. And indeed, there are places, whether it's Zachrein L'chaim, Avinu Makenu, whether it's Sabenu Mituvecha, V'Savchein Mishuasecha, these are places that we have to focus in on. Whether it's the Psukim we just mentioned, that these are ways to have like a thought process going on of how we can connect to Hashem. And I'd like to conclude with Sifur Yitzchaskot, who said, you know why we have a second day? To show us that if we don't make it the first day, try again. This is the second day. You know, you may, if you only had one day Rosh Hashanah, you may say, I blew it. Hashem says, Adam blew it, but He's giving him another chance. He's giving him a second day. The second day is the Chiddush Achar Kol HaNefilos. Breishit. Bet Reishit. The second beginning. The Atchala Achar Nefila. The beginning after the fall. That's the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Me'ir HaKoach HaZeh Gevaldik. That's the Gevaldik Koach of the second day. How do you get up after you fall? The Gemara always begins the Masechet with Daf Beis, the Luchos Shniyos. It's a tremendous amount of rachamim. We all can't hold on that level of the first Daf, of Aleph. Most of us aren't holding by Aleph. Most of us fall, but most of us know what bet is about. How bet Reshit, how we have a second chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us this Rosh Hashanah to teach us the 2 days that I'm giving you this opportunity, that if you don't make it the first day, you have a second chance. Life is about a second chance. Don't think it's all or nothing. And with this, my friends, wish everybody Tziva Chasima Tova, a Shana Tova, a good Gemet Shur, and that we should be Zocha, that our tefillos should be answered with Tova, and that we are able to focus both on the first day and the second day, to be able to tap into the din and the rachamim and the intermingling of both, of all Elohim betrua, Hashem bekol shofar, that we start with the Elohim, the din of the shofar, and through our desire to connect with Hashem, through our desire to love Hashem, that Hashem will then go up and call shofar, the yudke vavke, the din, the judgment turns into rachamim, to mercy, and that we in all of Klal Yisrael are blessed with a year full of rachamim, full of mercy, and full of love.